And again, this is very easy. Be loving in all you say. Love is the highest way, is it not? Surely. So I'll do it one time through, second time through. Join me. It's just way super easy. It goes like this. Be loving in all you say. Love is the highest way. Be loving in all you do. It always comes back to you. Give of yourself each day. Oh, love is the highest way. Now you do that. Be loving in all you say. Love is the highest way. Be loving in all you do. It always comes back to you. And you can move if you want to. Give of yourself each day. Oh, love is the highest way. Keep going. Be loving in all you say. Love is the highest way. Be loving in all you do. It always comes back to you. Give of yourself each day. Oh, love is the highest way. Now, I want you to think about this. There's a lot of different ways that we can respond to things that go on around us, right? We can respond with fear. We can respond with anger. Do we want to respond that way? No. The only way to respond that's divine is love, is it not? Love is the highest way. Let's do that again. Be loving in all you say. Love is the highest way. Be loving in all you do. It always comes back to you. Give of yourself each day. Oh, love is the highest way. Be loving in all you say. Love is the highest way. Be loving in all you do. It always comes back to you. Give of yourself each day. Oh, love is the highest way. One more time. Be loving in all you say. For love is the highest way. Be loving in all you do. It always comes back to you. Give of yourself each day. Oh, love is the highest way. Yes, it is. Love is the highest way. Thank you. So this morning, we're going to be centering our meditation time on sending love and peace to everyone affected by Hurricane Harvey. That's just what we can do. This is how we are light. We literally are light. So let's use that light in our hearts now, and we're going to center our meditation there. So I'd like for you, please, if it feels comfortable to you, close your eyes. And let's take a deep breath together. Let's inhale and exhale. Inhale through the nose. Inhale. Exhale through the mouth. Exhale. One more time. Let's inhale through the nose. Exhale through the mouth. And feel quiet and peaceful and loving. Concentrate on your heart. And I want you to see and feel a ball of white light centered in your heart region. See it shining very, very brightly. What is this white light? It's your energy. It's your divine essence. That energy of God within you. It's there. See it shining brightly as a bright, bright white light, a ball of light there at your heart chakra. And infuse it with love. Just feel love there in your heart. Feel peace, peace there in that white light in your heart. Feel blessings there. You are a blessing. And all the blessings of the universe are there in that ball of white light in your heart right now. You are love and peace and blessings. You are. And it's not enough just to be a light within yourself. We really are commanded to shine that light, to help others be a blessing too, to give love, to give peace, to be a blessing to our brothers and sisters on this path called life. So now we think of everyone right now who's been so deeply affected by Hurricane Harvey. All those who've lost their homes, who've been separated from their companion animals, who've been separated from their loved ones. All those who are in the hospital and ill. All those who have died. All the rescue workers who suffered a lot of trauma in rescuing people. So take that ball of white light in your heart and send that forth to them right now. Just visualize that white light traveling and surrounding the people, everyone in all the states who've been affected and impacted by Hurricane Harvey. Just let that light blanket them. Let that energy blanket them. See it enter their energetic space, and it's nothing but love and peace, positivity, blessings for them. We shine our light and we are peace. Om Shanti, 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 Shanti. We shine our light and we are love. We send them love, great love, each and every person, great love. And we are a blessing to them. All that we are, we give to them. We are divine lights of God. And we offer that to them because they are divine lights of God. And they need the energetic support. They need the reminder that they are God as well. We give them that love. And we send them love and peace, positivity and blessings for a few moments now in the silence. And we bring that light back now. And we leave, as we leave them with this energy of love and peace and positivity and blessings. And we bring that light back into our own heart now. That white light burning brightly in our heart. That divine light of God burning brightly as me. Light of God burning bright as me. And I carry that light with me always, always. It's always there. Whenever I become aware of it, it's there. Even when I'm not aware of it, it's there. Always there. And I give thanks for the privilege and the opportunity to be a blessing now and always. And so it is. Thank you. As I travel on this journey, there is one thing asked of me. Just be a light. Be a light. When the storms of life surround me, so that I can barely see, just be a light. Be a light. Just be a light. Just be a light. Light of God, burning bright as me. When I feel confusion, I'll do what I know is right. I'll be strong, I'll be a light. Just be a light. Be a light. I can't see them from their sorrow, but I can surely plant a seed. Just be a light. Be
Is my makeup running? Is it? No, thank you. Got a little weepy during that meditation there. Okay, so good morning. Thank you for being with me and allowing me to come here, and thank you for blessing me with your presence this morning by coming out. We're going to be taking a look at everybody's favorite topic, end of life. Yay! I know you just rushed here when you said, oh gosh, yes, we're going to talk about end of life. Can't wait. Yeah. You know, if you think about our lives, and as a metaphor, so let's use a play as a metaphor for our lives. Where are you in that play? I think many of us, I'm going to say, just for purposes of this discussion, anyone 50 and older, let's say we're in, yeah, I know, anyone 50 year old, I'm not going to ask you, Vision. We're in Act 3. We're in Act 3 of our plays. Act 1 is, of course, childhood and those early years. Act 2 is the early years of marriage and children and raising the family and all that stuff, if you followed that path and early career. Act 3 is when now we're looking towards retirement. It's not too far away. And what is it we're going to do with our lives, you know? And a lot of things are happening in Act 3. I think probably the most activity happens in Act 3. And then some of us buy out at the end of Act 3. And some people go on to Act 4, and that's after retirement and then on into however much longer there is, and that's Act 4. But Act 3, I'm defining between like 50 and 65 as we're dealing with this, or even just 50 and 70, dealing with the whole retirement stuff. Life is changing at such a rapid rate. How do you deal with those changes? I've been very surprised. I turned 60 last year, and I was so surprised at all the changes, how life changed for me. Not just like 60 and it changed, but They didn't tell you this in the School of Life. They forgot. I probably was absent that day when they talked about how life changes as you get older. So we're going to look at some of those changes and how to gracefully navigate that channel of waters that exists during Act 3. And how do we find some measure of peace and equanimity when things are changing and not for the better? Yeah? All right. So that's what we're going to take a look at. So I'm going to tell you I've outlined five spiritual principles that will help us navigate these choppy waters of Act 3 a little bit better. And the first one I'm going to start with is, I'll tell you what all five are, and then I'll go back and explain it. We've got compassion and forgiveness. We have non-attachment and equanimity. And we have fearlessness. Okay, so we're going to look at all five of those. Right now, let's take a look at compassion and forgiveness. I put them together. They do go together, believe it or not. And I'm going to define them for you. As I'm defining these now, compassion is non-judgmental love. Non-judgmental love is how I'm defining compassion. You on board with that? Everybody can agree with that definition? All right, cool. Forgiveness, I'm defining as the absence of judgment. If there's nothing to judge, there's nothing to forgive. Think about that. If you have nothing to judge, then there's nothing to forgive. That's how I'm defining forgiveness for today's lesson. Okay? And I know, and you know what? I'll let you know a little secret. Ministers tend to shy away from a couple of subjects, and one of them is forgiveness, because it's such a hot button. Such a hot button. People are really, really emotionally tied to that notion. So I'll take you a little ways in there. We're not going to go too deep into forgiveness. That's the step, you know, that's a whole other thing on in and of itself. So the thing about compassion, when in Act 3, the changes that occur, one of the changes is changes of when you contemplate your life, especially as you're entering retirement, and you're looking back on your life, what choices did you make? And were they the choices that you wanted to make? Or were they kind of choices forced on you by circumstances? And are you happy with your choices? Or do you blame yourself for some of the choices that you've made? It's very easy when you look back at your life and you're taking stock of everything, what the choices that you made, perhaps in a partner, one, two, or more, the choices that you made in your career, especially, if maybe in your education, how many people wanted to go through school and study a certain thing and life didn't take them that direction, took them another direction, and they regret that? We all have regrets. We all have regrets. And who do you blame when you're looking at those things? Who's the person that you blame when you look about the choices that you made? You. You are the person that you blame, you know. If you're the person that's blaming God, you're probably not the person that's in the pew here, because they tend not to go seek out churches, right? So I'm going to say that mostly the people who are blaming God are not sitting here. You can blame your spouse, you can blame the government, you can blame whatever, whatever. But you know what? What really happens when you get quiet, you're blaming yourself for the choices that you made. If only I hadn't married, if only I had gone to school and studied this rather than this, or went to school at all, or didn't go to school, if only I had chosen this career rather than that career, where would my life be different? So there's a lot of self-judgment that goes on at this time. And also some blaming others. If only you, spouse, didn't hold me back so much. If only my boss didn't put the thumb on me and keep me down so that I didn't get promoted or whatever, whatever. There's also the tendency to blame that. If only the government had been a little more this and a little less that, however it is, you know. So there is a tendency to blame others too. Parents are good ones. Parents are good ones to blame. Particularly as we get a little more self-aware and we start looking at our feelings and this was the family dynamics and you know, mom was really mean to me or dad was really mean to me and they abused me as a child and now they need my help because they're going into a nursing home and they need me to be their caregiver. Why would I be caregiver to this cranky old woman who was so mean to me? You know, all this stuff is coming up now. And how many, I hadn't planned to do this, but let me just ask, how many of you have to take care of a parent in some way, emotionally, physically, whatever? How many of you are involved in that? I am. Anyone else? Yeah, a fair number. And you know, it's not easy. It's not easy because if your parent in your childhood was just great and fine and wonderful and I love my parents so much and they gave me everything, I'll give back to them. That's one thing and that's grand. A lot of people don't have that. A lot of people have, ooh, and now I've got to be loving and I don't want to be loving because they were so mean to me. Or they continue to be mean to me, you know. All that stuff is going on. So that's why I say compassion and forgiveness are two very important points to bring. First to yourself. Be compassionate. Remember, non-judgmental love. Apply non-judgmental love to yourself. Because I'm telling you, hon, you did the best you could. You did the best you could under the circumstances, and you made choices. And it's okay. Whatever choice you made is okay. All choices have repercussions. There is that law of karma in effect. You know, whatever, for action, there's a reaction. And so you took an action, and there's a reaction to that. Always. There's always a consequence. And that's okay. You took an action, and there was a consequence. All right. You took another action, and there's a consequence. Okay. And that's life. That's life. There's no judgment in that. You took an action, and there was a consequence. Okay. No judgment there. Bring some non-judgmental love to yourself. It's okay. Whatever you did or didn't do is perfectly fine, perfectly appropriate. I dare say, perhaps it was meant to be that way. Okay? You don't know who you've touched. In the path that you've chosen, you don't know who you touched. You don't know who you've blessed. You've probably blessed immeasurable people because you've been on the path you've been. You would not have blessed them if you'd been on a different path. And maybe that was your goal in life when you came here, was to bless these people. You don't know that. So employ that non-judgmental love and forgiveness. You know, if there's nothing to judge, there's nothing to forgive. If you don't judge yourself, you don't have to forgive yourself. I mean, there's nothing to forgive. Love, honey, love conquers all. Love is the highest way. It does conquer everything. And for your whoever else now that you must be taken care of, or you have beefs against, or, you know, this person, dump the really? Employ non-judgmental love to them as well. Don't, you know, the absence of judgment, forgiveness. Forgive them. Because you know what? They're on their path too. And you don't know what their path is. We can never, you know, I love that passage in the Bible about when Jesus says, take the log out of your own eye before taking the splinter out of your brother's eye, right? We don't know what path they followed. We don't know what they face. We don't know what their demons are, what drives them, what fears they have. We don't know that. We can't know that from looking from the outside. So don't judge them either. Compassionate forgiveness. Moving on to non-attachment and equanimity. Let me define non-attachment for you. Well, let me define attachment for you. Attachment, being emotionally committed to circumstances, outcome, or person. Emotionally committed to circumstances, outcome, or person. That's attachment. So non-attachment is accepting what is. Accepting what is. Without judgment. Without judgment. And equanimity. Being the eye. Equanimity is being the eye of the storm. You know, the eye of the storm is so perfectly calm and centered. And, you know, think about the hurricane, the eye of the hurricane, perfectly calm and centered, being even keeled, not being overly, things happen and you're overly elated and so, yay, this is so wonderful. Or things go bad, it's like, oh God, I can't stand it. You know, being on an even keel, something wonderful happens, like, oh great, well, that's fun, yay, I'm glad about that, cool. Or something bad happens, like, okay, I'll deal with it. That's equanimity. And that's really hard when life throws you stuff that's hurtful, you know? Staying even keeled when things fall apart, that's difficult. But it's a spiritual lesson. And this comes, the non-attachment and equanimity are two principles. Actually, unity, Charles Fillmore, when he brought the philosophy of unity together, he was very strongly influenced by Swami Vivekananda from India and the Vedic tradition, the Hindu tradition, and later the Buddhist tradition. So he was very influenced by that, and that's part of the teaching. So that's teachings that are the foundation, really, upon which unity is built. And that equanimity and non-attachment are two very strong Vedic teachings as to these are principles that must happen for you to be able to transcend the ego self and merge yourself in bliss with God. So So anyway, it's a very important principle, non-attachment and equanimity. So what that means is that, not my will, but thy will, you know, what that means is that if something doesn't go your way, oh well. Not like, I can't stand it if things don't go my way. Or feeling like you have to be, so many people feel like they have to have control of everything. It has to be my way. You know, what does that do? It gives you stroke, heart attack, blood pressure rising, you know, ulcers. All that stuff works its way into the body and out of the body that way. Equanimity. I can be calm no matter what's going on around me. When I was thinking about the aid workers at Hurricane Harvey, right? So they come upon the most devastating scenes, the most heartbreaking scenes. My friend in Austin, she's by Austin, she sent me a picture when I texted her, Katie, you okay? She sent me a picture and she showed me a little old, I should rephrase that, a senior citizen in a rowboat, you know, senior citizen of 90 years of age in a rowboat. And it was her friend's mother being pulled out of her home, being rescued from her home in a rowboat. You know, can you imagine being 90 years old? And your home is being destroyed by floods. Everything that you've worked for all your life, everything that you've known, is all being washed away in floodwaters. And at 90, it's not like you can go running out of the house, you know, so having to wait for someone to come rescue you, praying that someone comes rescue you, you know. So can you imagine both how she would feel, and can you imagine how the aid workers would feel? I mean, if the aid workers, moment after moment after moment after moment, crisis after crisis after crisis, how can they stay sane in that situation? They have to stay centered. They have to, when you rescue a person, it's like, yes, thank you, God, we got someone, yay. And then when things, you know, you come upon someone who's deceased or you come upon total devastation and it's like, okay, I've got to go help someone else now. And that's how they do their job. And that's how we are called to be when life in Act 3 throws us all kinds of monkey wrenches. The job gets downsized and you're fired. 30 years in the company and you're fired. Have you ever tried trying to find a job at 50? I have. And I'll tell you, it is not easy. There, you know. And I used to, when I was 30, and I would hear, oh, older workers, they discriminate against older workers. And I said, oh, conspiracy theory, I don't believe that. Yeah, well, that came back to bite me, didn't it? Yes, yes. So that's, yes, try being an older worker and being in the job market now. So those things, your health, you know, your health, your body hijacks you at some point in time, and it just starts doing its thing. It's like, what's going on? I smell a donut and I gained 10 pounds. How is this possible? Or, you know, I get up out of bed and everything creaks now and everything hurts now. And it's like, it didn't used to hurt. So this stuff is going on with the body, and the worst part about this is as you go later, as you get towards Act 4, people start getting sick around you. Your friends and your peers start dying. I mean, there comes a point where your parents and their friends start dying. The people you grew up with, your parents' friends start dying. Well, that's one thing. It's another thing. When your peers start getting sick and they start dying one by one by one by one, and, you know, I've been blessed to have a lot of friends and acquaintances. And what that means for me in Act 3 is that one, cancer here, cancer there, heart disease there, multiple, Parkinson's here, you know, die, oh, God. There, you know, in my sphere right now, one of my closest friends probably will be not here this time next year. You know, so how do you keep dealing with this? How do you keep dealing with the losses, the grief? The grief can be overwhelming. It can be overwhelming. And so you know, I'm not only watching what's going on with you, but with the people around you. Watching my siblings age, for God's sakes. I'm 60, I can accept that. My sister's 59. What? What's with the gray hair? What's with the wrinkles, you know? I don't see the gray hair. There's a log in my eye. I don't see my gray hair, my wrinkles, you know? I see hers, though. So it's so funny to watch your siblings age, even when you're not. So that is part of the stuff you have to deal with. You can tell yourself anything, right? That's what you deal with at Act 3. So having that equanimity and non-attachment, the non-attachment is being able to say, you know what? I accept what is. I accept that my friends are getting ill. That's life, kids. None of us are getting out of here alive. You know that, don't you? Yeah. So I accept that this is their time now to make that transition. Some transitions are slower and faster than others. So I accept that. Okay. Mom's getting ready to pass. Okay. I accept that. You know, so keeping that equanimity in the face of what is going on around you, particularly as it gets more and more difficult. Do I think life, you know, circumstances are going to get better for me as I age? No. No. There's going to be more loss and more loss and more loss, and then it's going to be my turn, and then I won't have to worry about it anymore. But until that happens, you know, there's going to be, I'm going to have to deal with more loss and more loss. How can I stay sane, non-attached, and equanimous? Okay. And the last thing I want to bring into this mix is fearlessness. One time, I was feeling fearful, you know, being without a job, and I went a long time before I actually got hired again. And I was, you know, all the money's coming due and no money to pay it. And I was feeling very fearful. Now, mind you, God has always taken care of me. Always, always, always. I've always had a roof over my head, always had food in my belly. You know, I can provide for my two cats. So I have always been taken care of. But how come is it that when you are faced with a challenge, you forget that? You forget that 60 years God's been taking care of you, and all of a sudden today God's not going to handle, you know, God's on vacation, sorry, and she's not going to take care of you to see you through getting these bills paid. So it occurred to me one day, it's like fear is like saying to God, I don't trust you. I don't trust you. I know you handled me 60 years, but I don't trust you to bring me the money that I'm going to need for tomorrow, you know. And I thought, I had this vision of, it's like slapping God in the face. Sorry. I know you've done a stellar job at taking care of me prior to now, but forget it. I don't trust you. And when I saw that, I asked, you know, I was like, Jan, wise up. Wise up. Because all is in divine order. All, if you believe that, and I do, all is in divine order. All is well. All is well. And you are provided for. God provides, always. And I have that power inside me. Sometimes I don't use it well, but I have it inside me. And when I get quiet and I touch in to that deep wellspring of faith, then all things are possible. So that's what fearlessness is. It's being willing to say, you know what? Yes, I feel fear. Yes, I don't know where the money's going to come from to pay these bills or to do this or, you know, whatever, whatever. But I know that it will happen. And if I employ non-attachment and equanimity, then I can be fearless. I can go, you know what? Yes. And I'm going to move forward anyway. I don't know where this is going to come from, but I can move forward anyway. I don't know how this is going to happen, but I'm moving forward anyway. And if I don't move forward, what do? I sit and I stagnate. I get stagnant. And does that help anybody? Doesn't help me. Doesn't help anyone else. No. You can feel fear and move forward anyway. Because God's taking care of you, whether you want to believe that or not. You're here. It's worked so far, hasn't it? You know, hasn't God taken care of you so far? Right? So is there any reason to believe that she's going to stop now? No, no. And you carry that divine energy inside you anyway. So it couldn't stop even if it had to. Unless you croak and then will. But in any event, it's happening for you, even when you're not aware of it. So being fearless. So bringing this all back together, Act 3 is one of the most challenging acts we're going to face because the changes are so rapid and intense. Changes are rapid and intense, and they happen at a moment's notice. Everything can change in an instant. But as long as you employ compassion and forgiveness, this lack of judgment and only love, you know, non-judgmental love, compassion for yourself and for others, and forgiveness of self and others, that will see you through. And as long as you stand in non-attachment, as in accepting what is, whether you want it to be or not, you just accept what is, and be equanimous. You know, staying that eye in the center of the storm, no matter what happens around you, you just stay centered and peaceful and deal with what is. And as long as you move forward, even when you feel fear, do it anyway. Move forward anyway. God has taken care of you so far. There's no reason to believe that God's going to stop now, okay? So this afternoon, when we do the workshop, we're going to delve into more specific things, the very specific things about getting your affairs in order. My original title to the book and the program was Getting Your Affairs in Order so that your loved ones don't kill you before you're dead or don't want to kill you after you're dead. That's it. Get your affairs in order so your loved ones don't want to kill you after you're dead. So that was the first title, but we ended up with Getting Your Affairs in Order So All You Leave Behind Is Love. You know, there's very particular things that have to happen. So we'll go into that this afternoon as to your particular circumstance and what particularly you need to focus on to get your affairs in order. So that's this afternoon. But I want to leave you with tremendous blessings, because all of you are divine beings. We have a room full of divine beings. All of you are a blessing to more people than you could possibly know. You bless and you love more people than you could possibly know. And you know what? More people love you than you could possibly know. So let's go forth. Let's be a light. Let's be a blessing, now and always. Namaste. Well, guess what we're singing about? Funny thing, this light thing. So as before, kindergarten simple songs. So I will start it. You'll pick it up second time through. There's a light inside of you, shining brightly. There's a light inside of you, burning strong. When you shine your light, you're bringing love to the world. Don't be afraid to shine your light, shine on.
Sing with me.
There's a light inside of you, shining brightly. There's a light inside of you, burning strong. When you shine your light, you're bringing love to the world. Don't be afraid to shine your light, shine on. There's a light inside of you, shining brightly. There's a light inside of you, burning strong. When you shine your light, you're bringing love to the world. Don't be afraid to shine your light, shine on.
Now I want you to think about something. Think about not only that light inside of you, think about that light inside of someone maybe you have a little contention with. Someone you don't get along so well. Think about that light of God inside them. And can you use the light inside of you to touch into the light inside of them? Can you send them love and let that light shine between the two of you? They don't know what's happening and they don't need to. You can shine your light to them and bring them love, and it transforms everything. Let's sing this again.
There's a light inside of you, shining brightly. There's a light inside of you, burning strong. When you shine your light, you're bringing love to the world. Don't be afraid to shine your light, shine on.
When you shine,
when you shine your light, you're bringing love to the world. Don't be afraid to shine your light, shine on.
Listen, listen. Listen,
listen, listen
to your dreams. Listen, listen, listen,
listen, listen
to your dreams.
It's never too late. Always, always, always,
always
hold on to your dreams. Yes, always, always,
always,
always hold on to your dreams. The time is now. You know how.
Just follow, follow, follow.
Follow,
yes,
follow your dreams. Just follow your heart. You can make a new start if you listen.
So now we bless these offerings. And we know that according to divine law, they return to each giver, heaped up, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And for that we give great thanks. Amen.